Today, the market's running off a cliff moment. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, the archetypal cartoon picture of a character running off a cliff, legs cycling and hanging in mid-air until the truth dawns and then falls, came to mind today as US stocks fell sharply on Wednesday, with the Nasdaq plunging more than 3% in its biggest one-day percentage drop since February, and it also represents the steepest slide to begin in the first 3 days of a year in 13 years when the financial crisis gripped the globe. So much for the hopeful note at the start of the new year. The S&P 500 fell more than 1%, its biggest daily percentage decline since November the 26th, and that's the first day of trading after the news of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The Russell 2000 index also suffered its biggest one-day drop since November the 26th, while the S&P 500 financials index fell 1.3% a day after it registered an all-time closing high. The reason? The release of the US Federal Reserve meeting minutes, which signaled the central bank may raise interest rates sooner than markets had expected. I have said before that the markets continue to believe the Fed will save them, but what if rates do rise harder and faster? The minutes, usually a bit of a snoozer on Wall Street, drove selling in the market that was already on edge, anticipating a central bank that would be less accommodative, even as the Omicron variant of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 fuels disruption in the global economy. Rising interest rates, of course, increase borrowing costs for businesses and consumers, and higher rates can depress stock multiples, especially for technology and other growth stocks. And of course, the higher debt also hits public finances. The sell-off was broad, with all S&P sectors ending in the red, and Wall Street's fear gauge, the volatility index, closed at its highest level since December the 21st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.07% to 36,407. The S&P 500 lost 1.94% to 4,700. And the Nasdaq Composite dropped 3.34% to 15,100. In the minutes from the Fed's December the 14th to the 15th policy meeting, central bank policymakers said a very tight jobs market and unabated inflation might require the Fed to raise rates sooner and begin reducing its overall asset holdings as a second brake on the economy. The minutes pointed to a faster timetable for raising interest rates in 2022, potentially as soon as in March, amid greater discomfort with high inflation. Market participants are anticipating at least 3 interest rate increases this year. Federal Reserve officials seemed eager at their meeting in December to lay plans for moving away from their current easy policy stance, given that inflation was likely to be higher than they expected over the next 2 years, according to those minutes. Participants generally noted that given their individual outlooks for the economy, the labour market and inflation, it may become warranted to increase the federal funds rate sooner or at a faster pace than participants had earlier anticipated, said the summary. At the meeting, Fed officials had a wide-ranging discussion of how to move policy away from its current easy stance by hiking rates and also shrinking its $8.67 trillion balance sheet. A minority of officials were eager to start to reduce the balance sheet, which is another form of tightening monetary policy. Some participants noted that it could be appropriate to begin to reduce the size of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet relatively soon after beginning to raise the federal funds rate, the minutes said. After reading the minutes, Catherine Judge, economist at CIBC Securities, said she thinks the Fed will begin to shrink the balance sheet in the April to June quarter. That's much faster than the last cycle. In 2015, the Fed waited 2 years after the first rate hike to reduce the balance sheet. Officials said that the cautious approach in 2015 wasn't appropriate this year. Participants remarked that the current economic outlook was much stronger with higher inflation and a tighter labour market than at the beginning of the previous normalisation episode, they said. Several officials raised concerns about the vulnerabilities of the Treasury market and how that could affect the shrinking of the balance sheet. But other officials noted the Fed has a new standing repo facility to backstop money markets. The minutes show that almost all Fed officials revised up their forecasts for inflation this year, and many raised their forecasts for 2023. Officials and Fed staff forecast that inflation would fall significantly this year, but they stressed the risks were tilted to the upside. Inflation fears dominated the discussion, said Ian Shepherdson, chief economist at Pantheon. Officials were also upbeat about the labour market. Several officials said that they viewed that the job market had already reached the central bank's goal of maximum employment, opening the door for rate hikes. Fed policy has been remarkably easy since the coronavirus pandemic started in early 2020. Many economists had urged the central bank to begin to move to a more neutral stance last year, but the central bank kept their foot on the gas, holding rates close to zero and buying treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. Several officials did not see the Omicron variant as fundamentally altering the path of economic recovery. The central bank now has pivoted sharply and at its December meeting agreed to end its asset purchases. In mid-March, the central bank has penciled in three rate hikes this year. The market sees a strong possibility that the first rate hike could come as early as March. Economists note that a federal funds rate of 2.5% is generally viewed as the neutral Fed funds rate that neither stimulates or slows the economy. Indications that the Fed is very concerned about inflation could quickly create a view that the Fed will aggressively tighten in 2022, said David Carter, chief investment officer at Lennox Wealth Advisors in New York, calling the minutes more hawkish than expected. Policymakers in December agreed to hasten the end of their pandemic-era program of bond purchases and issued forecasts anticipating 0.75 percentage point rate increases during 2022. The Fed's benchmark overnight interest rate is currently set near zero. Earlier in the day, an ADP national employment report showed private payrolls increased by 807,000 jobs last month, more than double of what economists polled by Reuters had forecast. The report comes ahead of the Labour Department's more comprehensive and closely watched non-farm payrolls data for December on Friday. This time around, the COVID pandemic has wreaked havoc in supply chains and appears to be compelling the Federal Reserve to ratchet up its tightening cycle to combat out-of-control inflation, which is running well above its annual 2% target. And the yield on the 10-year Treasury note moved up to 1.7%. And remember that yield-sensitive segments of the market, like tech, won't react well to the Open Market Committee talking about shrinking its $8.8 trillion portfolio of bonds and other assets relatively soon after beginning to raise rates. Given Omicron stumbles are expected to be short-lived, it appears the Fed is inclined to dial down market-supportive bond purchases and lift interest rates, which currently are in the range of 0 to 0.25%, closer to normal. But of course, what they say and what they do may be different. To me, we're at a Mexican standoff between the markets, who want more Fed support to feed bloated asset prices, and the central bank worries about inflation. The question now is, who might win and who gets hit in the crossfire? Well, a clue may come from Ray Dalio, who wrote in a post on LinkedIn, "This printing of money and buying of debt assets has driven interest rates so low that cash and bonds are stupid to own. I think one should consider minimizing one's ownership of cash and bonds in dollars, euros and yen." Dalio, the billionaire founder of Bridgewater Associates, said it would be a good time to borrow in those currencies. Investments should be saved for stocks and inflation hedge assets in socially and financially healthy countries, he added. There is great internal conflict going on in the US now, which makes it a riskier place, he wrote. For example, it is entirely possible that neither side will accept losing the 2024 election. And here, while the RBA is away on an extended summer holiday, nice for some, a range of factors will drag the Aussie dollar lower. Not only is the Fed now in a tightening cycle, China is restraining steel production to clear the smog around the Beijing Winter Olympics, weakening demand for iron ore, and international tourism, of course, still looks weak. Only a stronger than expected, but of course a very lagging and pretty untimely result, the December quarter CPI print, could see the RBA finally move towards perhaps getting into action in its February meeting where it might lift rates, but that's probably going to be too little, too late for the Australian dollar. So maybe another running off a cliff moment. We'll see. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.